At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All righty, good morning, everybody. Hope your Monday's going well. Actually, you know what? I don't really care.
Now, why would you say that right off the bat?
You know, I'm hoping you are, but I can't do anything about it, Evan.
Well, it's a Monday. It's some people's favorite day of the week, apparently. I don't know how or why, but look, man, I'm assuming you had a good weekend, a nice relaxing weekend. You're looking fresh. You got your baby blue Tulane shirt on, so you must be feeling some type of way today.
Yeah, I'm feeling, how am I feeling? Yeah, I feel like I didn't want to put a collared shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. Take a load off.
Hey, we got a new NBA champion, ladies and gentlemen. The Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat the Indiana Pacers in a underwhelming game, I guess. A disappointing game. They were the best team all season long, and they ended up winning it. But tainted a touch by the Halliburton injury. Evan Giddings, your thoughts?
Yeah, your tone is probably how I felt about that game.
All right.
Which was, yeah, like, you know, like how you just came out. I don't really care. I don't really care. Like, that's how it kind of felt watching the remainder of that game. The moment that Halliburton got hurt, there was less weight behind the game. And this is actually why I think it's really interesting because, like, injuries have dictated so many pieces of this postseason that waking up this morning thinking about what happened to Halliburton and how Oklahoma City was able to, I don't know, just kind of survive and win game seven and win the championship. You know what really hit me this morning?
What?
I'm glad Steph Curry didn't come back. I'm glad that the Warriors, in a way, lost instead of putting Steph Curry's hamstring in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. It feels like they're, and we're going to get into this, it feels like these things are happening more and more, but apparently, according to the data, there's nothing unusual here, but I'm just, you know, I'm already looking at next year, and, you know, we're going to be without Tatum, we're going to be without Halliburton, we're going to be without Lillard, probably going to be without Kyrie Irving for a while, and you know, Steph gets hurt in the postseason. Butler got hurt in the postseason. I don't really know what the answer is because they're not going to reduce the number of games. I don't know what the answer is, but you know, the one thing you and I have a lot of fun with is talking about basketball 20, 30 years ago versus today, and you know, you talk about how these guys are better athletically, they're stronger, they're faster, they're quicker. If that's the case, maybe we're going to see more and more of this because these guys are pushing their bodies to a point that maybe players in the past didn't. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It sure feels like guys are getting hurt more now than they were in the past.
I think that's sports-wide, though. Like, do you think it's just basketball? I mean, every single year we talk about in baseball, a guy's elbows are getting blown out at a ridiculous rate. In football, guys are tearing Achilles, ACLs, but it's more just built into the sport because of how physical it is. In basketball, this year might have been a bit of an outlier, but it definitely, I think, ruined the viewing experience for a lot of people. You know, Oklahoma City was the best team. They were also the most healthy team. That's kind of the way it feels like things are trending in basketball. And I think in trending in sports, like the team that is the healthiest at the end of the season is going to win. And I kind of think that's always been the case. But because the season-ending injuries have hit so many high-profile stars, specifically in the NBA this year, now everyone wants to do something about it. And it's like, last year, weren't really any of these injuries in the NBA. 2 years ago in 2023, were there a bunch of Achilles and ACL tears? You know, I do think that there is something to how much work, and, you know, kind of load is being put on the body, but I was sad yesterday when Halliburton got hurt, but I wasn't thinking that we have to completely restructure the way things are done.
No, boy, there's so much to get into here. And one is, all right, I'm just thinking about, like, I always think, is it a chicken or the egg? Should the healthiest team win it all? Or do all the injuries to other teams essentially determine, you know, who wins it all? And I mean, this year, I don't know that you could argue that. The Oklahoma City Thunder won 68 games, and I haven't looked at all their minutes played, Evan, but they may have set the record for point differential during the regular season. If not, they were right there. So that tells me that they probably got a good amount of rest over the course of the season for their starters. And maybe that was one of the reasons why they got through the postseason relatively unscathed, because they were in control of the regular season the whole year. And I'm sure Gilgeous Alexander sat out a lot of fourth quarters like Steph Curry did the year of their first championship. Or was it their second? It might have been the one they didn't win it, but you know, the where he sat out about 18 of the fourth quarters. Maybe Gilgeous Alexander, because of the margin of error they had this year, they were able to keep everybody fresh.
Well, that's what made this so unique, is that I don't think anybody's sitting up here today saying the Thunder shouldn't have won the title. But it felt like everyone who watched that game was robbed of the opportunity to see the Pacers win it. And you don't know if Indiana's going to get back to that stage again. I mean, it's kind of like a great movie that has a sad ending. I'm serious. Like, the Pacers were the team that everyone, I think they built the most good, I don't know, like, they built the most for themselves over the course of this playoff run. But the Thunder were clearly the best team. And that's why it felt like we were cheated a little bit yesterday. At least that's the way that I felt. And I was left kind of watching the game sort of empty, because like the Pacers were up one at half and OKC just kind of turned it on when they needed to. And the Pacers, because of an injury, were robbed of the opportunity to prove that they could weather it. Like, they lost their best player 6 minutes into the game, 7 minutes into the game.
And I almost felt like it affected the Thunder more at the in the immediate aftermath of the injury than the Pacers. Because like you said, the Pacers are up one at halftime. And then in the third quarter, the Thunder pretty much just steamrolled them and put that game away. And part of it, obviously, was Halliburton. But, you know, when's the last time there was a seven-game series? It couldn't have been the game.
2016.
The Warriors game.
Yeah.
See, that's why, you know, that game at least was 93-89. Yeah, 93-89, and there was a big shot in that game. And, man, the last minute was nail-biting time. But last night, obviously, you know, it was the Oklahoma City Thunder just trying to hold on with a 15-point lead, which they were able to do pretty easily. I don't know what you do about guys getting hurt. I really don't. They spread out the finals. I don't know if you want to spread it out more. Do you want to take the season into July? I don't know. Do you want to start it earlier? Give guys more time off in the regular season? I don't know. I don't really have any answers, except that, you know, I'm to the point now where attrition is a big part of who's going to win the NBA title. And if that's the way it's going to be, and it's going to be a marathon, and it's going to be hard for guys to end up playing 100 to 110 games, then that's just going to be part of it. But I think, I don't think that does any favors to the home team here right now with where the Warriors are at in terms of their big three and the age of their team. I think you need a lot of young players, and you need some depth, and the Warriors need both those right now.
Well, you also need talent. That's why there was a big trade before the game even went off, because the team felt like they didn't have enough talent. I actually look at it the other way. Mm. The Pacers got within one game of the NBA Finals because things broke their way. That's sports. Like, injuries determine the outcome in sports. It might be happening more than it ever has. I'm not really sure. It feels like it. But that also means that I wouldn't count the Warriors out. Stunny, there's been a different champion every single year so far in this decade. And whether that's because of the CBA or because of injuries and because of the way sports are nowadays, like, you might be looking at the Warriors as they're too old. But the Warriors are going to be in a position next year where, if they do manage the attrition you're talking about, I actually don't feel like they're just going to be done. Like, on paper, the Pacers should have never been in the NBA Finals. Boston was better. Cleveland was better. Even the Knicks had a better regular season.
Right.
But they still got there. And they got within a game of beating arguably one of the best statistically made teams in NBA history.
Yeah.
And they might have been able to win it if Haliburton hadn't gotten hurt. That's the other thing, too. It's like, if you watched that game and didn't think that the Pacers could have won it, I just don't know what game you watched.
No, I think if Haliburton plays, obviously, that game might become a toss-up. But again, I guess what I'm wondering is, if you're an NBA fan, I mean, how did you feel about the whole playoffs? Did it feel like, you know, we got robbed a little bit? I mean, I felt like we kind of did in the Minnesota Warriors series. Obviously, the Celtics took a hit when Tatum went out. And now we got an NBA Finals, the first Game 7 since 2016. And what we see is a guy get hurt, and it might not have changed the outcome, but it certainly made the outcome more of a fait accompli. But Kevin Durant also, he got traded. He's going to the Houston Rockets. And Evan and I had a quick little exchange before the show that we'll get into on the other side. But 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also sponsored by Honda of Vallejo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And the NBA Finals concluded last night. Oklahoma City Thunder, new NBA champions, first time ever. Seven different champions the last 7 years. And, yeah, I guess you could look at that and feel like the league's more wide open than maybe it had been before that. I don't know how open the door is for the Warriors, but we can talk about that. We can also talk about the Kevin Durant trade. Kevin Durant traded from Phoenix to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets get Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green and the number 10 pick this year, and about five second rounders next year. And you and I talked about it a little bit, and you love the move for the Houston Rockets. You like the Durant trade for the Rockets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they didn't have to give up a whole lot. And I think that they got something that they didn't have. A guy who could put the ball in the hole. Like, do you not like the trade for the Rockets?
Well, I don't dislike it, but to me it's one of those things where, and I think we have a tendency to always do this, the Rockets got better. Well, on paper they may have. On paper they may have gotten better. You know, Dylan Brooks to me was kind of the heart and soul of that team, and Jalen Green was a very, very young player who I got to believe is going to get a lot better. Phoenix had to make moves. I guess what you're saying, yeah, I mean, I guess this year, you know, had they had Durant, maybe they do get by the Golden State Warriors.
Well, not if Buddy Hield has a 30-point game seven, but, you know, like, I think that everyone looked at Houston and said, what are they missing? They're missing an isolation score. They're missing a veteran presence. They're missing a one. And I think Kevin Durant is past his prime, but he's still a pretty damn good player. And the one thing he can do is score. So you added that to a 52-win team. I mean, they made the same choice that the Warriors did, Steiny, only they're in maybe a better place in terms of, you know, having younger players, which was they chose talent over culture. You know, the Warriors had a lot of culture this year on a team that wasn't very good. And I feel like the Houston Rockets were in a similar place, just more ahead of schedule because of how talented their younger players are.
Yeah, it's to me, it's...
Like they got rid of Brooks, who's probably more of a culture guy than Durant is.
No, I'm with you. The basketball side of it, we watched that series against the Warriors. They had a lot of trouble scoring. That's a team that goes through a lot of dry spells, obviously, on the offensive end. So he should help there. I guess there's just something about Durant right now that I'm not crazy about. And I know he's still, you know, most of the player that he's always been. I know he's not quite the same player he was 8 years ago. There's just something about Durant right now that I can't put my finger on that just leads me to believe that he might not be as big of a difference maker anymore. And obviously that, you know, he's not the Oklahoma City or the Warriors, you know, Kevin Durant. I just worry about putting a guy like that on that young a team, knowing that you're just asking for a year or two of Kevin Durant, and then we'll see what happens after that. I guess I don't view Durant as any guarantee anymore that the team he's on is going to be a big factor. They might be.
No, but the team already was kind of a factor. So like it's not like he's joining a seven seed or a nine seed. Like he's joining a two seed. The team won 52 games without him last year.
What if I told you in a crazy kind of way, I don't necessarily think he makes them that much better in the regular season.
Yeah, but that wasn't the point. I mean, I don't think, like, do you think they got him for the regular season?
I mean, obviously he has to play the regular season, but no, I think they want to incorporate him in the regular season, and then by the playoffs, he's probably their number one guy, and he's established. I don't know. I mean, there's just something about Durant, Evan.
So you're kind of like Guru. Like you sat up here and killed Goof for saying that.
No, I didn't kill him.
Kevin Durant's getting a pass and he's skating, and you're like, well, you know, he's just not, you know, he's not on a great team. Well, now he is on a good team, and you still feel the same way. So it feels like you were kind of coming down Goo's road for reasons that were completely fair.
No, I came down Goo's road because it felt like he wanted to blame Durant for everything that went on in Phoenix. And I think it was a lot of different things. I can't quite put it into words, but Durant to me He just doesn't scare me like he did 3 or 4 years ago. And I don't know what kind of player he's going to have to be to take the Rockets to the next level. And here's the other thing. I'm not sure I know what the Rockets' next level is. They were a 2 seed, but they got beat. And so we talked about what kind of a 2 seed they were. I don't want to take anything about anything away from what they did in the regular season. I'm just, if you make a list right now of Western Conference teams, do you put the Rockets second before the Durant trade?
Before the Durant trade?
Yeah.
No, to me they're a top 4 team.
Okay.
They're a top 4 seed without Durant, with Durant. But again, the reason why they got him is because they didn't feel like they would be more of a first round team or better than a first round team. Like I really don't think he was acquired to help them win 55 games. I think he was acquired to help them win the game 7 that they could not against Golden State.
I don't doubt that.
But it seems like you have doubts that he can be that player, and I'm curious as to why. Because ever since he's left Golden State, it does feel like there's been meat that's left on the bone with him. And not all of it's his fault. Some of it is due to injury. Him, Kyrie, and Harden never really got to play together. I don't know if they ever even played together in a postseason series, all three of them at the same time. You know, he's a shoe length away from knocking off Milwaukee, who went on to win the championship that year. And then he gets to Phoenix, and nothing really materializes. This season, I think they were 33-29 when he played. So they were about a 45-win team. And that team was not very good. But that team was about a 45-win pace when he was playing. And it still just feels like, yeah, he's a good player, but he's not a game changer. Like, it feels like the legacy of Durant is going to be remembered more by after he left Golden State than Golden State and what happened in Oklahoma City when he was,
I think you're right,
objectively
about
one of the best players in the league.
Unless he wins a title in Houston, then I think people will forget the Brooklyn and the Phoenix. And it's, look, I'll be honest with you, and maybe I didn't think enough about it and write down 15 things. Steiny, why are you so confused? They were a solid defensive team with not a good offense, and they just got a very good offensive player. What's so confusing? I don't take chemistry lightly. I don't take their defense lightly. You know, Dylan Brooks was either their best defensive player or their second best defensive player. They lost a ton of athleticism in the backcourt with Jalen Green. I guess the other thing I feel like with Durant is, and maybe this isn't fair, he's crossed over into officially a rental now. And I sometimes just don't like the idea of getting a guy in for a year or two to push you over the top. I just think you got to build longer term than that. That's just me. I don't.
Well, that's if the player is supposed to be your best player. I mean, I think that Houston's trajectory is going to be more determined by Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün. But, yeah, like the days of me believing that Kevin Durant can lead you to a championship are gone.
All right.
But if he can be not the best player, but one of their best players, like if Amen Thompson is really a superstar, if Alperen Şengün is really a superstar, well, then he absolutely can help them win a round or two or make more hay than they did this year. Like, they gave up their quote-unquote superstar perimeter player because they didn't believe that Jalen Green was ever going to get there.
Well, how about Kevin Durant is probably going to be Houston's leading scorer, I would think.
Yes.
Okay. Because has he ever not been the leading scorer on one of the teams that he's played for? I think he was the leading scorer for the Warriors all 3 years here, but that doesn't. So you're saying he can be the number one scorer. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the best player on the team.
Well, he's gonna be their best offensive player, but There might be some nights when their defense leads them. I mean, they're looking for a closer. Like, they didn't have anybody who could really, you could just give the ball to and you could go get a basket. That's what Kevin Durant is. That's what he's always been.
And this, you know what, and this may be kind of at the heart of it. From the YouTube chat, Stephen Candelaria. This is what I believe. Houston was a 2 seed last year. They'll be worse with KD. I agree. During the regular season, I don't think they're going to be a 2 seed. They probably have a better shot in the postseason, even if they're a 4 or 5 seed with Durant, than they would have had last year against the Warriors. But keep in mind, if they don't make the Durant trade, Houston comes back essentially with the same team, and now they have experience, more experience. You could almost, you know, compare them a little bit to Oklahoma City. But, yeah, I mean, Durant is a big name. He's the first guy off the board in terms of, you know, acquisitions and guys who were thought to be moving in the offseason, and sure enough, he's in Houston. Let's go to Brian. Brian in Palo Alto wants to jump in here. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, I think Durant is a culture killer now, right? And I think in a place like Houston where you don't have, I mean, the reason it worked in Golden State is because Steph was the culture, right? And Durant was secondary to that, maybe the leading scorer. And obviously Durant ended up miserable, right? Because Durant thinks he's the show and he thinks he's the culture. And that's what we've seen over the last, whatever, 5 years. Was Durant building around Durant's sort of vision of himself as a leader and a culture builder. And he's not that. He's terrible for culture. And sending him to a young team like the Rockets, where a lot of these young guys will defer to him, probably doesn't end well. And I think the guy that changed the culture for the Rockets, like him, you know, love him or hate him, is Dylan Brooks. That's the guy that sort of turned up their identity as this, like, super physical, defensive, in-your-face team. So you ship 2 good defenders that average collectively between, 37 points a game in Green and Brooks for a horrific defender, 38-year-old defender, who doesn't play defense or rebound and scored 26 points a game. So great move by the Rock, by Phoenix, in my opinion, and I think Phoenix will be better. And I think Durant will sink this clubhouse just like he's sunk, you know, anywhere where he's been the main guy for a while. So that's my take. He's just not – the guy has no leadership ability – and he's, you know, yeah, it's just who he is. Anyway, thanks, guys.
I got you. I don't know. Does he have to be a leader on the Houston Rockets?
I don't know
where their leadership comes from.
I think that what people feel about Kevin Durant is so, I don't know if the word is even interesting, Sonny, because it seems to be getting more extreme every year. Like, again, like, no one's going to think about Kevin Durant as being a top 15 player of all time by the end of his career. Like, and I'm not saying a lot of the things that BPA said were wrong. I don't disagree with some of it, but, like, he's a culture killer?
Yeah, that I thought was strong.
Like, seriously.
Like, I don't think he's got a strong enough personality to ruin a culture. I really don't. Like, I don't think he's a problem. I just think he's Kevin Durant, and he comes with everything that Kevin Durant brings. But, no, I think culture killer's a little too strong. I don't think he ruined the Warriors' culture when he came here.
Well, because his point is that Curry's the glue to it all.
And I'm not convinced he ruined Phoenix's culture. I don't know what their culture was with Devin Booker and Nurkic before he got there. When Nurkic was there,
I would argue the person that has created the culture in Houston is the head coach.
I agree with you there.
I think Brooks is someone that, you know, fits the kind of personality that Udoka has, but Udoka also, I mean, he coached a pretty good Boston team that wasn't always full of killers as we've come to define Tatum. Like, I don't think that Durant is not going to be able to fit in Houston. In fact, I'm actually excited to see what Udoka is able to do with him, because he's finally got a consistent sort of talent. I mean, Jalen Green has the ability to be whatever he wants, but I have my doubts he'll ever accomplish it because he's just too damn inconsistent.
Now, this from the text line, and people, if you want to jump in here, now's the time at 888-957-9570. Just a couple of these texts. I agree with this one from the 408. Culture killer's strong, but he doesn't strengthen a culture or the leadership as a veteran. This is the one that you'll take exception to. And I think it's strong, too, but it's kind of going up the alley. Have you guys seen the last 6 years? KD makes any team worse now. That's not accurate, but I just wonder if he's got the oomph he had. You know, I just think there's a difference between a guy who gets 25 a game, you know, a guy like Durant now who gets 25 a game versus 28 a game 4 or 5 years ago. I just think he's, you know, maybe he's getting them without, you know, is he still getting all the focus of the defense that he got, you know, 8 years ago, let's say. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say he's a bad player. He's not. He's a hell of a player. I just don't know how much a guy like him moves the needle in terms of balance of power in the West anymore. That's where I'm at on this one. Like, I want to see him play, and I want to see how they fit together. And you know, they do have a pretty young team. So he'll have to fit in with a bunch of guys who are like 23, 24 years old.
Well, that's why I'm a little surprised he didn't just want to go to Miami. I think Kevin Durant's still good enough to move the needle in a very uncertain Eastern Conference. You got Halliburton, who's going to be out for all of next year. Lillard, to some extent, if you like the Bucks, is going to be out for all of next year. And obviously Tatum in Boston. Like, the team that's probably favored again is going to be Cleveland, just by virtue of they have players that are going to be on the court. I mean, I don't know what the East is going to be like, but you're right, in the West, I think it helps Houston come postseason time, but it doesn't make them a 60-win team. Like, I think it helps them close the gap in a 7-game series. But in an 82-game season, acquiring a 37 or 38-year-old is not going to help you. Like, I don't think that's what it was done for. And Durant is, I think he's a great player, but I don't see him anymore as changing any landscape. Like, when he went to Brooklyn, it was a big deal.
Right.
When he went to Phoenix, even, it was a big deal. I think the haul that the Suns got, while, yes, they got a potential star in Green, again, I have my doubts, you got a starting caliber player in Dylan Brooks in the 10th overall pick. Like, that's a sign to me that Durant isn't the player anymore, because otherwise, you would have been able to get a haul like the Phoenix Suns had to give up to acquire him.
Yeah, I wonder what the league thinks of Jalen Green. Because I look at him as, I look at him as a guy who could be a heck of a player in 5 years. But if you don't think, not you, but if people don't think he's going to be more of a guy who can elevate his teammates, then maybe he just is a volume scorer who doesn't make guys better. Brooks was a big part of their culture. I think he was very important for the young guys. I think he could be missed a little more than we think. But I wonder what, you know, the Golden State Warriors, say what you want, they eliminated the Houston Rockets this past year. You look at the Rockets now, I mean, do the Rockets, in essence, eliminate the Warriors next year? Are the Rockets, I know people say, well, they won 52 games and the Warriors didn't, so they're better. But, you know, the Warriors beat the Rockets in the regular season, what, 3 out of 5? Are the Rockets now officially better than the Warriors, in your mind? Or they're just a team that was above the Warriors, and they'll probably stay above the Warriors? See, it's hard to judge Houston because they were a 2 seed, but they lost in the first round to a 7.
Yeah, but that's also, like, maybe they didn't think that last season was replicable. Maybe it was very Sacramento Kings-ish of a couple of years ago, sure, where the Kings were a 3 seed, got beaten the first round, and never got back to that point. Like, they decided to get something that they felt like was consistent. Does it make them better than the Warriors? I think it makes them closer to the Warriors. I don't know if it makes them better. Like, I didn't think that Houston was going to beat them. And the Warriors had a chance to win it in six.
True. It's true.
I mean, I think it makes them a little bit better, but I don't think it makes them, like, the reason why the Warriors had relatively less trouble with Houston than the other Western Conference teams, because they were just a better matchup for them. The Rockets could not score. They right. just they couldn't score it's in true. The half court when they needed to. And that's why the Warriors, a team that also has somewhat of an inconsistent offense at times, was able, I think, to rely on its defense against a team like Houston. But now, well, you have to respect their offense. I don't know. To me, it closes the gap between them and Golden State, but I wouldn't say that the Rockets are better than them going into next year.
Well, somebody on the text line is writing, you know, regulator saying the Warriors weren't a true seven seed either. You could say maybe with Butler, they were if they have Butler the whole year, they're a 4 or 5 seed. I don't know. I feel like if you told me right now who's going to win more games in the regular season, the Rockets or the Warriors, I got to say the Rockets, even though I'm not sure that this team will elevate them in the postseason, Durant will elevate them into the postseason. But I'm also trying to figure out where the Warriors fit in on all this, because it's tricky to figure out, because the Warriors played great down the stretch. They went into the postseason. They beat a 2 seed. Houston had a great year. Inexperienced, a lot of young guys, and the Warriors closed them out. So I think there's wiggle room for Houston in terms of regular season and postseason. They may win fewer games, but be more dangerous in the postseason. I'll give you that. But I am interested to see how they'll navigate the regular season with Durant.
Yeah, but the biggest difference between Houston and, say, Golden State is that Houston doesn't have all of its chips and older players. Like, they got one guy.
It's true.
But Thompson, ideally, you'd think is going to get better.
Yes.
Şengün is 22 years old. He's probably going to get better. So if I'm looking at, and maybe this is what you didn't like about the trade, Steiny, is that you traded a 22-year-old in Green who could get better. So you eliminated the opportunity for this team to progress naturally. Like, they're skipping a step by swapping Brooks and Green for a Durant. But I'm not writing off the rest of the guys that were also young on that team that we saw in the postseason go, well, right now they're not ready yet. But in a year or maybe two, that team's going to be really scary. And I just feel like they saw a window now. You know, I guess my biggest question off this trade is, like, why is the window now when you just saw Oklahoma City win a championship last night? Like, Oklahoma City's going nowhere. They're going to have the same team. Their team is still going to be really young. They also can get better. Why does Houston feel like the window is now? I understand why Golden State does. Because they got no choice.
I think I'll try to answer that on the other side. Okay. 888-957-9570 is the number. Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket, which means he's now on the team that the Warriors eliminated this past season. Where do the Warriors fit into the West as movement begins to happen? And I think there's going to be more movement on Wednesday in the NBA draft. But 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. Are you traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport. With the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, live performances, and tasty food, why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journey begins. Visit flysfo.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.